Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm really happy to see you. I really like.
I'm happy to see you too.
Missed you. I was talking to. I got coffee today with my. I have been having like drinks and coffee with people just from like 10 years ago.
Oh,
who
I love
just
that.
Like have run into and been like, okay. And I was like kind of putting it off because I was like, I've just been too emotionally and physically exhausted to like small talk with people. But I was like,
right.
I'll just do it. And they were both lovely. And today I was with my camp friend and we were talking, I was talking about us and this podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's like, it's been really hard sometimes. Like when we only see each other to do the podcast and it feels like a transaction. And I just like, we have to maintain the relationship.
It's true. It's true. And got to take each other on dates. Got to like, do little things.
Sometimes I just like, I won't like spend time with Bridget.
That
like,
isn't that about isn't this about podcast. Podcast.
And it like really hurts.
Jesus. So Brooke and I are putting this podcast on hold to focus on our relationship. See y'all later. Just as it gets good.
Catfish has come back.
I know.
Full force.
But it's like, more?
But like as a person, we are potentially going, Kyle and I have decided.
Stop.
Wednesday, we are potentially going out on a date.
Potentially. Like what do we think the probability of this actually happening is?
I don't know. It seems different this time.
What, is he a different person?
He just like is telling me things
Someone
about
take
himself.
His phone. Wow.
And
oh, so he had a girlfriend before and he was trying to cheat on her and now he doesn't. That's where my brain goes.
I don't know.
He's actually interested in seeing a new person.
I don't think so. Because
I like to go worst case scenario.
I think it's like, I don't know. He's just being less sexual this time because I kind of was like, I put the kibosh on that.
Sure.
It's like, if you're going to talk to me. Talk to me. And also, but like every time I bring up meeting, he's not like, no, you're not ready. It's like, okay, yeah. And I'm sort of like,
huh.
I'm like giving him.
Fascinating.
I'm giving him a week.
Uh-huh.
And that because it's hard because this weekend my parents are here. But if I don't see him, meet him by the end of next week, I'm just blocking his number.
Good. Yeah.
That's my plan.
Solid.
But it's like.
Wow. I'm fascinated. He came back.
I cannot believe it. You guys, it has been since January and he would just resurface. And now here he is.
Mostly on holidays. So
on the Jewish
something
holidays.
Prompted him that was a totally
Columbus
other.
Columbus Day.
Of course. Classic.
Indigenous
I got caught today behind the Columbus Day. Parade.
There's a Columbus Day parade?
Well, yeah, that's what I discovered when I walked in on it and
oh,
it was
keep it like screwed on it's fragile.
Okay. I got stuck in Midtown because it's a fucking pain in the ass whenever anything happens and I was like, what's happening? And someone said Columbus Day and I was like, that is the stupidest possible reason to have a parade.
The stupidest reason to have a parade.
Truly.
I hope there were like a Nina, a Pinta and a Santa Maria.
No, not at all.
That's
I
all
wish.
I care about.
Just boats.
Just boats.
Boats. Brooke
boats
loves boats.
After ladies. I love boats. I love chickens.
You eat them.
I ate chicken, but I literally also love live chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little sadistic of me.
I don't think so.
I like.
I think a lot of people have that cognitive dissonance between.
It's just chickens and cows. Yeah. I like we'll see a cow.
Brooke, we've never come across an animal together that you haven't gone, I love that animal. Which I know is true because I feel the same, but just literally I have not heard you say this about any animal. Should we just start listing them?
I'm thinking. I definitely love meerkats and lions.
Uh-huh.
And
otters.
Oh, I love otters.
Fish. Elephants.
I don't
giraffes.
Love fish, but I am fascinated by them.
Uh-huh. Giraffes.
Yeah, I love a
you
lot.
You said that about every animal on the safari we've been on. It's amazing. It's just so pure.
I'm caught dead in my tracks.
Yep.
Um,
shot dead, baby.
Well, I gotta go.
See you later. Speaking of outdoors and farms and shit,
I had a big weekend.
Yeah, talk to me.
I went to EatsCon on Saturday, which is hosted by the Instagram The Infatuation, and it was just like a food festival of food, and we got Lily, friend of the pod. Lily and I ate an edible and went to this food festival and like killed it. There was a whole like, so have you heard of Emily Burger at People in the Pod?
No, never.
It's, we should go. It's in Brooklyn and it is so good.
Oh, yum.
But they teamed up with Shake Shack and they made this like special burger.
That sounds incredible. Emily Burger? I'm going to look up where it is in Brooklyn.
It's in Fulton Street. It's right by Anna and Nick's old apartment.
Oh, nice.
And then yesterday I went apple picking and it was great.
Yeah, you really put together a nice...
I needed it. I was really depressed and now I feel okay.
Good. We love a restorative weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
I had a fun Friday night out and then... I didn't leave my apartment until midday Sunday, and then I went to dinner with my friend Reed, and then I went to Hannah's housewarming party.
Nice.
And then I made the choice to walk home directly across the park. I've walked by Emily Burger. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. It's just called Emily, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's another one. There's one in the West Village that's called something else.
Yes, I've heard they're impossible to get into. Mm-mm. I was walking with, the reason I know this is because I walked by it with, I don't remember, I was on a date or something. And whoever it was like, they only make a certain number of burgers a day. So you have to go early and like.
Allison and I went and at like a 7 o'clock on like a Tuesday and it was totally fine.
Well, never mind. Someone was trying to make me think it was way more exclusive than it is.
That is not, that's not wrong.
Yeah. And I made the choice to walk directly back through the park to my home, which was fine for the first third. And then I got into the park where it's dead-ass dark and there's noises all around you of nature, which would be nice, except I was like, who lives in these woods and hears me walking? So I just held my breath and had my like call app open. it's so dark in there. You cannot see where you're going.
I remember when we were there.
Yeah. And then, I was with the two of you at least and we were all heading back. Oh wait.
Sealy too.
Yeah. Sealy too. At least Ari and I on the way back at each other, but I had forgotten and had never done it alone. And then when so I kept turning the light on my phone on and then being like, everyone. So I made it, which I was really glad about.
That's scary. Yeah. I would not have been okay.
Well, at that point, it was like backtrack and get a car, you know, or I just committed. I won't do it again.
Yeah.
As I was walking, I was like, this is how these stories start. And they're going to say, and she shouldn't have. And what was she doing? And it's so all true.
Because of this whole thing, Kyle made me share my location with him. So if and when I do see this guy.
In case he kidnaps you, Kyle can save you.
Kyle will know where I am at all times.
Good.
But also.
That's just good thinking.
Because I shared my location with him, every single group chat that I've ever been in with Kyle suddenly was on my phone.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to go through them later. Like, and there's just...
That's a lot.
It just like tells them that I'm sharing my location with Kyle.
Oh my God. So it told everyone.
I don't think that it did.
I hope not. That would be a really silly thing to do.
It didn't happen with Kyle.
Oh, good. So just something happened with your phone.
It's so weird.
That's very bizarre. Well, what a fun treasure trove of old things to go and look through. But now
it doesn't say anything fun.
Oh, dang.
But yeah.
Well, can't wait to hear whether you survive or not.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things this week that I think my therapist is going to be like, Brooke?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I think she's going to be
guessing.
I think she's going to raise an eyebrow about the thing I texted you about. And also, I sent a text on Saturday to someone that I like didn't need to engage with. But I was like, okay.
It happens.
I was like,
yeah, why not engage with all the people who shouldn't be engaged with and just see what the fuck happens?
I was like, Liz is going to be like,
go on dates.
Remember
do
last
it all.
Week when you like weren't okay and be like, yeah, but then I did all these things that I probably shouldn't have done, but I did them anyway.
But also some of those things happened to you.
I feel great.
True. True.
Ish.
Look at you taking the agency and
I'm like, if I don't fight the dragons, they'll never go away.
That's true. They might lose interest and go harass someone else, you know. Oh, eat someone else's sheep.
Surprisingly, that dragon I don't know.
I've got to be honest. I have no idea which dragons you're talking about at this point. There are several of them, and they all are different scenarios. Some of them you made happen. Some of them happened to you. It's all just a thing, you know?
It is all just a thing.
Liz will help you clarify.
I love Liz. Everybody pour one out for Liz, my therapist.
I love her.
My parents are coming. Okay, should we? Hey.
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 What's up, Bridget?
Hey, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Splat,
the podcast where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about sex.
Sex in the city.
Mm-hmm. 10 years sex younger. Sex city. Mm-hmm. Sex city. Sex city, bitch.
Yeah, that's it.
We talk about Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
10 years younger.
Mm-hmm. And 20 years later.
Yeah, that's the podcast.
You're here for it. We're here for it. Everyone's queer for it. We love it. I am going to get my dry cleaning out of Brooke's dryer. Hang on, everybody.
Brooke's corner where she sits and watch Bridget. She's cleaning the dryer. She's walking over to the table. She's taking a dress outside the table. She's putting it back in for another 5 minutes. 5 minutes until the next check. I hope you enjoyed the BBC's inside look at Bridget doing her laundry. This has been another Brooke Wiseman exclusive.
A rare sighting as the elusive Bridget emerges from her cave to do dry cleaning.
See, you're better at it than me.
No, this is just what I used to do on intolerably long hiking, hiking trails with campers who didn't want to be there.
I would love that. I want to go hiking. I was actually... Mm-hmm. The Zipcar in me.
Yeah, girl, you've got access now.
I have the key to the Zipcar.
That's and there's killer.
A garage. Well, we had to go to the Bronx, but there's one right there if we can like plan it.
That's very exciting.
And I love driving.
Our window is closing on weather that will be hikeable.
So let's go like maybe next. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I want to go to Storm King.
Yes. Any and all, although I also think that would not be as good in
we should go soon.
Actual fall weather. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go to Prospect Park in the fall.
It's gorgy.
Gorgy.
I wouldn't know because when I walked through last night, it was pitch fucking black.
Well, like the leaves haven't really started turning yet.
Really? They're down all over where I am. I guess turning, yeah, fully. They're just leaves all over already. It always happens so fast.
It's like you blink.
Well, yeah, I also left work at 6:20 and it was dark, so.
We've hit the point.
I'm already upset. Anyway, guys, get ready for another year of me slowly complaining increasingly about the light outside. This is why you're all here. So happy you've come back for more.
There's actually a book about it called All the Light You Cannot See, which is just about Bridget longing for daylight savings.
It's just like every day how I feel about the less light or the more light and how that completely dictates my life. Super fun. Carrie Bradshaw knows good sex, everyone.
I love Sex in the City.
Brooke is getting deep into it. It's fun to watch her get re-excited.
I love this era. Oh, wait. Let me turn the captions on. So this episode is called Plus One.
I will say if the whole show was what episode 5 and what you've told, or season 5 and what you've told me season 6 is like, I think it would be a much higher quality show overall.
Season 6. I was just looking because there's only, 8 episodes?
Yeah, we
only have, like, a couple episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
And,
of season 5.
Of season 5, which means, like, all of the stuff that I thought had probably happened in season 5. Like, so much
gets
happens
packed into
in
season six.
And, like...
It's like they knew they were running out of time and had to do all the
good
stuff.
Well, I think they knew it was the final season, and I think... But, like, Samantha's, like, real, like, her whole, basically, she has an entire series worth of arc in season 6.
Yeah, that's crazy, because they finally realized they did her dirty all this time and that she deserved more.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait for you to see it.
It might be a while.
It's going to be a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
So, even the most cynical New York woman dreams of all her life.
Or it's the day that even the most cynical New York woman dreams of all her life. And Anthony is there and he's like, white everything, W-H-I-T. And no,
and I'm like,
it's
isn't
not
that
her
just
wedding.
A metaphor for
yeah,
America
truly.
These days?
It's not her wedding.
It's her
book release party.
Which
she's
she looks so cute
about.
On the cover.
Yeah,
it looks
the cover shoot ended up exactly what Carrie wanted and mm-hmm. what everyone else is happy with. It looks like her. It looks like what you imagine Sex in the City. I'll be honest with you. I like Sarah Jessica. Okay. I like the short hair. Mm-hmm. I pretty much can't stand how they style it this entire episode.
Yeah. Looks bad the whole time. When it's, oh no, no, except for when she's at lunch later, mm-hmm. when it's half up, half down. And yes, curly. I like that.
I would agree with the rest of it. I don't think they're doing her any favors. Out.
Like she looks very matronly in a way she doesn't.
It's just not a great cut. Miranda is back at work. Our working mom. She can have it all.
She puts a picture of little Brady up.
On her, she has like a little stand thing holding all her business cards, and she slips his face on it. And who should call?
But Walker,
the old one night stand Walker,
Chuck Bass, or no, Senior Bass.
Senior. Oh, that's why he looks. Man, he has not aged. He looks as good here as he did in that show.
This is the guy that we thought was Ed Harris, but right, is actually,
but is not.
Bass Senior.
Yeah, Bass Senior.
Bart Bass. Does that sound right?
Sure.
Sure.
I like a good alliteration. Why not?
I love a good alliteration.
Okay, it paused, so I'm going to go and whip them out.
What's going on with me? What do you all want to know about me? Do you have any questions for me? So Bridget's wearing a pair of pants that I gave her, and it's so funny to me because they, like, just clear her ankle, and on me, I had to, like, fold them. You are a very sexy spider. What do you guys think that Bridget's phone sex operator name should be? Send us your thoughts, your THOTS thoughts. Everybody, we found a dead mouse in our closet yesterday. And that's...
Just to be clear, you saw electronic music artist dead mouse yesterday in here?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm really into trap music.
Yeah, baby. It fits with our personality.
I think so.
Yeah.
Just like, give me a lot of MDMAs and send me on my way.
Give me a lot of MDMAs.
That's what the kids call them, right?
Scoop me out the door. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to do a lot of...
We're hip. We're cool. We're fine.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll.
Drogas, baby.
Drogas. All right. So Miranda's on the phone with Bart Bass. It's definitely Bart Bass now that the words are in my mouth.
It is. I'm sure you're right. And she hasn't seen him in months, so she kind of gives him a little, like, goofy, like, oh, I didn't think I'd ever hear from you. And the thing is, like, major events have happened in her life since the last time she saw him.
She's had a baby.
And he's like, what's up? What's new with you? And she's like, not much. And then she invites him to be her plus one at the book party.
Which is like, if it were my book party and you brought like a first date or like a fuck boy, mm-hmm. I think I would be mad because I would want you to be at the party with me. Like I would want you to celebrate with me.
Interesting. Like, well, Charlotte's planning on doing the same thing.
I know. And I feel weird about it.
But I think to them it's more important to have a date.
Oh, that's so weird.
Because they all have plus ones and they don't want to go without.
So Charlotte has some tall, blonde, white person.
Who is her newest handsome man, perfect project. And they kiss in the hallway and went outside of her apartment. And one of the crudgy old ladies is like, she says, have a nice afternoon, Mrs. Crawler. And the woman's like, it was a nice afternoon. And you are left to assume she's deeply insulted by the kissing.
And now Amy Sedaris is really excited about this book party. And I texted Bridget earlier when I was watching. I was like, I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot discern between Princess Caroline from BoJack Horseman and this character.
I told you last week that when I was on the train, I forgot what I was looking at just by the strength of her voice.
Like in this context.
Because she gets very excited and her voice does that. I'm excited thing that Princess Caroline does.
And you guys, so good. If you're wondering what the visceral reaction you just heard me have.
Her
was,
gasp. It's because we paused right as Berger came in through the door.
A young Ron Livingston.
A young Ron Livingston. He is very cute.
He is very my type.
Yes. 30 seconds into this scene, I was like, yeah, of course he's her favorite. This is the least surprising thing of all time.
He's so smart and he's so witty and he has a messenger bag and he's a little scruffy. Yes. And he looks like a cute little boy. Well,
he is your type to a T.
Super to
physically,
my physically.
But also banter wise. He has, I'm going to say, whoever writes Berger, why haven't you written for this show earlier? Because suddenly there's like... ceaselessly hilarious, lively
he's
writing.
So cute.
Like, and granted, he pulls it off too, but I'm like, where has this show been hiding? This is not how this show has felt until now to me.
No.
At all. He's very cute. He's an author. He walks in and surprises Carrie in
and she is so
Princess Carolyn's
flustered,
office.
Just like I am.
It turns out he's written a comic for men and She was like, what's it called? And he says, half off. It's just called half off now, and because he's just been self-deprecating about how poorly he's doing. And it's very funny.
Amy Sedaris is talking about how, like, they should get to know each other because Berger's been through all of it.
And they're both writers and et cetera, et cetera. So he takes her and they go and get McDonald's. Which,
and the banter continues in the park.
Ceaselessly.
And also, it's just, like, a lot for me because she's drinking a strawberry shake and Berger's like, really strawberry. And personally,
he's like, who orders that after they're 11?
Brooke, yep. I have strawberry ice cream in my freezer right
now.
I
said after you're 11, Brooke.
Sorry. So 3 years. I have 3 more years. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny. I actually like, I have a whole thing about strawberry ice cream with a former lover of mine.
Wow. It's almost like you've lined the people you've dated up with men in this show. But
That's the big.
Uh-huh.
Big and I we love strawberry ice cream.
I'll let you have that one. So Carrie is very, very deeply charmed by this guy, as he's making fun of. So everyone, Brooke likes Berger, and that's what we're going to talk about for the next hour.
Bridget hates me right now.
No, I don't. It's fascinating the way this is. I think you'd forgotten how strongly you felt about this. Yeah. I mean, I had a strong reaction too. There's no question. He's by far the most charming. And honestly, he has a better connection with Carrie than
any of them. So yes, I will.
At least at this point, from what I've seen, and maybe it's just they hired a guest writer for this show who they should have kept on forever.
Well, what I'll say is when Berger entered the show for the first time, the writers and producers wanted her to end up with Berger. So we know that that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how or why.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how or why. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's such a good – it's so
– So they wanted it to be different.
They wanted it to be different.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Also, just like remembering how this relationship ends, you're right. I do that. And it's like a little bit fucked up. So just like.
This is the Post-it one. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know all of it, but I know the details. I mean, I don't know all the details, but I know the basics. That's better. And he's like, okay, what's up next? She says, what do you mean? And he's like, well, what are we going to do on our day together? And he says, I have to go pick up dry cleaning. Do you want to come with me? Would that be weird? She is, for half of this episode, wearing some sort of insane push-up bra. Because although her tits are very nice, and we talk about them all the time, none of this looks natural.
No. And Carrie says, we're having one of those great first dates that you can only have when it's not an actual date. Which is like such a real thing.
Yes, very much so. It's an accident. And they find a playing card on the ground and he picks it up and he says, ah, it's stupid. I collect found playing cards. They're all over the city. And she's surprised by it because she's never noticed. And he says, you will now because that's how that works, which is true. It's like, you know, someone says something to you or you learn a new word and then you see it like 6 times the next day.
He just found a 2 of hearts.
He says, so it's a good day.
2 of hearts feels like symbolic because they're 2 hearts.
The hearts. And the 2 of them and the hearts, it's, you know, love hearts, is represented by
hearts.
It's a and subtle like message, but it's there.
There's 2 of them mm-hmm. and they two have people 2 hearts.
With hearts.
And so
she's like
Carrie
working
is
up
like,
the courage. They're walking very slowly also. They're like really truly enjoying each other's company.
She's like, would you be my plus one for my book party? I don't have a date. And he's
on
like
Thursday.
And he's like,
he's a little bit taken aback for the first time, only because he says, I would love that, and he means it. But he says, my girlfriend's parents are in town, and they're staying with us.
So we find out that he not only has a girlfriend, but that they
I love the way Carrie says
living
this.
Together.
She's like, so then bombs just started exploding. I have a girlfriend. We live together.
This flirtation's in your head.
It's
and the women are
true.
Like, he should have told you that. And they're like, maybe they shouldn't have told you that.
And, well... Then Carrie's like,
well, Miranda, well, like, I
Charlotte says he's an asshole. And Carrie says, I don't actually think so.
He's an asshole.
She says, we had a spark.
I never spark.
And Samantha's thing was like, well, when does he tell her? He's known her for an hour and a half. You know, does he lead with that? And she says, I hate when guys do that. I say, is that seat taken? And he says, I have a girlfriend.
Jesus. But Miranda is like, I didn't tell Walker I have a baby.
Right. Right. Withholding information.
And Carrie's like, I wonder if they're happy. And she's like, I've self-admittedly, meaning she's like
the
Berger
couple
and his girlfriend.
I wonder how happy they are. But she says, this is not a good side of me. And all her friends are like, no.
And Charlotte's like, the universe telling you that
your person is still out there.
And Samantha's like, or that they're not. They're all taken.
I think that's Miranda. Yeah. She's like, or it's telling you that all the good men are taken.
Oh, and Carrie says this thing, which is if she's like, I don't remember what he looks like. And that's what happens when I really like someone. It's just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
What he looks like or what his voice sounds like.
Mm-hmm. I looks like?
For me, it's a voice. Mm. If I can't remember what your voice sounds like, it means I really like you.
Weird. I don't remember most people's voices until I know them super well, I think.
I don't know. Maybe I've just projected that onto myself because this show has
fair enough.
Brainwashed me at a young age.
We all have our things, though. I definitely do that. Voices are intense to me. Yeah. I will, like, especially if I'm listening to something, but, like, I will form whole opinions on someone based on their voice. And
oh, absolutely.
Strong stuff.
It's like when, and also, like,
even if it's like a perfectly normal voice that wouldn't affect someone else, sometimes there's something in it where I'm either just like deeply drawn to it or I'm like,
No, I absolutely no. I'm the same.
I guess that's human. It's only human natural.
Only natural human. And so it's progressively throughout this episode, also Miranda's hair, and it's intentional, just like gets more and more ratchet.
It starts in a fine place, boring mom cut, and then it gets
talking about like all the like subtle ways that that Berger could have like
dropped hints of that he, you know, was seeing someone seriously. But also, again, ostensibly it was professional.
This is also so funny. Miranda's like, I would have said
after she says that she didn't tell Walker, she says, well, he didn't ask. If he'd asked if I'd given birth recently,
I would have said, how recently?
Define recently. It's so good.
And they're like, you have to tell him that you have a child.
She's like, I don't know. I mean, if I didn't have a baby, this would be a guy I'd be dating.
And Charlotte's like, if Carrie's guy didn't have a girlfriend and it's a guy she'd be dating. And it's like, how many games can we play
that way? But they're not. Like, yeah, exactly. It's an impossible game and you'll kill yourself. You have a baby, Miranda.
You have a baby, Miranda.
Berger has a girlfriend.
Carrie looks insane right now.
It's awful, guys. It's like she took her sheer curtains down and turned them into a dress.
Or like a hoop skirt, but took out the hoop.
Yeah, and just strapped two straps on it, a kerchief, like a babushka, and just a black bra hanging out of all of it.
And she's like,
and high heels.
If you don't have a plus one, but you're all alone, is it zero? And she's like,
she says,
nonsense.
If your one plus one loses a one, does it actually add up to zero? So the idea, like, if you don't have a second, are you nothing by yourself, basically? Which is a heady question.
Yeah. Do you want to try to unpack that or should we move on?
I think, well, this episode is interesting because it dives into that in the sense of, like, Stanford later, we'll get there, but he talks about, like, I wasn't anybody until somebody loved me, you know? And I think actually that is a really unhealthy trope that we buy into as a culture
and
massively.
And that's sort of what Carrie says.
Yeah. I think it is amazing to have somebody, to have like a person and to have a teammate and to have a duo. But I don't think it's true that you need that to have worth. But I do think often as a single person, depending, you have to prove yourself in a lot of other ways to society, whether or not you want to.
Yeah.
And as a woman, to be single either looks like something to be pitied at a certain point or something that's like a definitive choice where you're being like, fuck men. And
yeah. But sometimes it's not either of those things.
No, sometimes it's just you want to live your life your way.
Yeah. So Samantha is getting Botox.
She goes in and the nurse is like explaining to her some basic things. And she's like, yes, I know. And the doctor's like, please, she's been here many times before. And he's like, oh, some new ones. And the point is, Samantha could handle the stress of her job, but not the stress lines. And before he sticks a needle in her forehead, he says, what about a chemical peel? Takes 15 minutes, makes you look 10 to 20 years younger.
And Samantha's like, oh, a chemical peel? But you think she would see herself. So it doesn't, it's like her whole face is like.
Basically, it took the top layer off of her skin and she looks like a horror movie light villain.
Like, I just feel like before you offer someone a chemical peel,
you should tell them. It'll take 3 days to, or, you know, you'll have to be inside for a week. It's your face. Or,
like, don't have any events you need to go to.
Right. So. Also, it makes me think of the closest thing it makes me think of is in Arrested Development when Maybe films her grandmother after her face job and they turn her into the villain from the monster from the movie. That's literally like what Samantha looks like.
It looks like someone threw acid on her face.
Basically, yeah.
So Carrie is at a restaurant and her hair looks cute in this scene. And Candace Bergen, her editor.
Basically,
from Vogue,
she's there alone. Yeah. She's eating alone. So she's reading a hello. And her, yeah, as Brooke was saying, her editor from Vogue comes in.
And like.
Is also eating alone.
And neither of them, they don't like each other very much.
Nor do they want to. It's Enid, played by Candace Bergen. She's the one who was so impossible. Like, her boobs don't aren't that. No. I don't know what they're doing to them, but that's not what her boobs look like. Enid is the woman who she didn't jive with at first, and then after her editor got gross with her, she went back.
Yeah.
And they're both eating alone and got seated next to each other, so they have to do this. It's like the worst nightmare scenario.
And Carrie's like, do you want to join me? And she's like, oh, no.
I'm just reading.
And they, like,
have a really uncomfortable.
But she, like, agrees. Like, it seems to me like this character wouldn't be afraid to be like,
I agree no. that Candace Bergen would be like, I'm here to eat alone. And she'd be fine with it, and Carrie'd be relieved. But I guess the idea is that, like, even under hard exteriors, there's a lot of vulnerability, and that she's getting tapped into Enid's here.
Yes.
So they have this funny back and forth where Carrie's, like, really trying, and Enid will give her, like, a one-word nothing answer.
Yeah, and they're just like, it's so tense. And then finally she, like, mentions that there's her lover lives over here, and Carrie's like, ooh, a man. And, like, she still doesn't really give anything. And Carrie's like, come on, I'm dying over here.
She's like, you got to give me something.
And, like, the most Sarah Jessica Parker, like, cutie little way.
It is. It's very her. And then she gets excited about the man, and she's like, oh, so you can have it all. She's like, look, you have an amazingly fulfilling career, and you have a man. Like,
and she's like,
God damn it.
On the east side, I have a man, and he has another woman on the west side, which is, like, presumably his wife.
Ostensibly, yeah, and or...
Ostensibly is a new presumably.
Presumably is better.
Presumably.
Oh, ostensibly is a big one for me. I say that all the time.
Ostensibly.
That's right, baby. Yeah. So she says, luckily the park provides a buffer. And Carrie says, you're okay with that? And she, Candace Bergen, a.k.a. Enid, appears to be. She's like, I have a full-time job. She's like, that's the key to having it all. I couldn't have a man full-time.
Stop expecting it to look like what you thought it was going to look like. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board with Candace.
She says that's true of all of the fall lines, and it's true of all relationships.
So right now you're like, yes, Candace Bergen. Yes, okay.
Ma'am. Nothing looks like you expect it to. I think that is an incredible piece of advice, honestly.
Charlotte has sex with her perfect plus one.
And it's perfect. And then he even sleeps over.
And
in the morning, she hears the door, and she's like, oh, I ordered us breakfast. I'll go get it. And she puts on a robe. And as she's going to get the door, instead of...
When did she order them breakfast?
I know. It doesn't make any sense. Like, night before breakfast. Maybe you can do that.
I love morning time in bed.
Me too. Me too. And then she goes to get the door, and she...
And it's unlocking itself.
It's unlocking itself.
And guess and who then walks through the door? Alohomora.
Worse than Trey, it's Bunny.
Bunny, Bunny.
And they have this just horrifying scene, basically, where Bunny dresses her down. She's like, look, I got a call from the co-op board. And they saw you kissing in the hallway. And then they saw you come home last night with, we presume, the same man, but we couldn't be sure.
And she's like, get out of my apartment. And this is, and
Bunny is like,
this is a McDougal apartment.
Well, she says, it's not your apartment. And Charlotte says, Trey gave it to me.
And she was like, it's not Trey's to give.
It'll be in this apartment. It is under the McDougal name. And you, unlike you, Charlotte York.
And then
Charlotte basically, like, and then the guy appears, and he's like, and he hears Bunny pointedly saying, you're still married, because the, like, Doris isn't finalized.
You're married.
Of course, because he loses his mind. And like, because Bunny is really trying to, he doesn't give her a chance to explain at all. Although also if my, whoever I was seeing's crazy mother-in-law showed up and it was date one, I would probably be like, yeah,
deuces,
dipping
fam.
Out. And Charlotte basically kicks her out, which she does have the right to do. It's her apartment. And thank God she's going to change the locks, which she should have done a long time ago, honestly.
Well, I don't think she expected this. Her hair looks amazing.
It really does. Imagine just getting out of bed and it looking like that. I honestly believe that for Charlotte, it does. She's the one woman in the world who wakes up and looks like this.
At camp. Juliana. Do you remember Juliana?
Oh, yeah. I believe that, too. She's, like, the most beautiful human.
I know. I remember at camp, I was like, she used to wake up and, like, shake her hair out. And I was like, fucking rainbows fell out of that girl's hair. She's so pretty.
Upsetting. Upsetting.
Carrie's signing books and, like, has, like, it's just, like, I don't know.
She's
if this
getting
is,
ready for the party.
Has this ever happened to you where you've just gotten, like, 4 phone calls? I guess if I were having, like, an event, like, something like a party.
Yeah, big time. And she only has one line.
One line. Can you imagine?
So silly. Or I guess they're not texting about anything at this point. You know, so she has to have a phone call.
Stanford is looking at.
Charlotte calls her and is basically like, I'm having a Bunny problem. And then she's like, oh, actually, I got to go. Well, Carrie's other line rings. And she's like, oh, no, a locksmith is here. Bunny's back.
And good for Charlotte. Stanford is looking at the same shoe in different colors.
He's also talking on his phone through headphones with an attached microphone in them, which I was like, damn, wow, those came along fast with the microphone. Mm-hmm. But also just look at them ramping up technology left and right. I love it.
And they're talking about
nobody loves you till you're nobody till somebody loves you. Nobody loves you till you're somebody is also true.
And Carrie's like, I can't believe I used to like that song. It's the codependent national anthem. And Stanford's like, you're jealous. Mm-hmm. And Carrie's like, but you're my plus one. You know, the gay guy is the single gal safety net.
Just what every gay man would like to hear.
Kyle, you hear that? You're just there for my safety net. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I actually got drinks last night, and it was the best.
He's your best friend, Brooke. Of course it was the best. That's what best friends are good for.
I know, but it was just like, we went out and like talked and just had friend good, time. like challenging conversations with each other about like
look at that.
Things and
challenges. I love it.
And like you just like, you can say things to someone that only like when you're only like that close with. Another version of this is that Lily at EatsCon, we each peed, we were holding drinks and we both got back and I was like, oh, do you want to try mine? And she's like, oh, I tried it while you were in the bathroom. Do you want to try mine? And I was like,
I tried it while you were in the bathroom.
And then we hugged and it was great.
Oh, friends are the best. Friends are the best in the world.
Best in the world.
I'm glad you and Kyle had that time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But you're more to me as I like, he's more to me than my safety net. Oh, I need to
Of course. Shave. It's also just like this show doesn't go deep on, it pretends like it's about gay shit, but it doesn't.
Sex in the City pretends that it's about gay shit.
Pretends it's about a lot of things.
And so then, and she gets another call and it's Samantha.
And she says, honey, I've had a little something done. It's not as bad as yesterday. And basically Carrie, who of course doesn't understand the extent of the situation.
Because Samantha doesn't tell her.
No, she doesn't. She's basically like, you have to come. I need you to be there. She's my PR person.
And
you're
she's not your, just my her plus one.
Right. She's like, there are going to be 8,000 people there. I would like to see one familiar face, please. And Samantha's like, I'm not sure it's going to be familiar, is what she's thinking to herself. So she's laying it on thick. And Samantha's being a very good friend. The but way also Samantha's impulse play here was maybe not the smartest choice.
There's a niche reference here. But they're styling Carrie's hair as if she were doing the Don't Tell Mama number in Cabaret and she's playing Sally Bowles. That is the way that it looks. Mm-hmm.
Very close,
so it's like a baby doll moment.
It's very like, it's a PC short bob kind of, but then the way that they style it is so it's, it has like flippy individual sections kind of. Bad. It's really, it's not a good look for anybody, I don't think.
So we're at the party.
And there are beautiful little cupcakes with icing shoes on them. And that were being passed around by beautiful little waiters. And she's being photographed and she's in front of a beautiful display of her books.
I don't mind her hair here.
Agreed. I think curly is the best look for the short hair. Mm-hmm. I also don't think this is her best dress.
No.
It makes me really sad. It's kind of shapeless and ugly.
It's like a potato sacky.
It is. Amy Sedaris is so excited to be there. She wants to kiss a boy tonight. She sees a cute one and she zips away. She zips away to go and smooch.
Ooh, cute guy, she says.
And then she like shrugs her shoulders and goes after him. She's perfect for this. And Carrie
meets Harold Keenan of The New Yorker.
Who's been following her career.
He looks like a poor man Sam Waterston.
A little bit. I was with a poor man Sam Waterston today. I thought of you. Samantha shows up basically looking like she's at her husband's funeral and she's 25 and had the gardener murder him. It's like a little
black. It's like a big wide brimmed hat.
Yeah, with a little veil off of it and feathers and things. And basically she and Harold Keenan are like, what's happening here? And Harold Keenan sees her face after she pulls the veil up and almost passes out.
And then just walks away.
He just shakes her hand because she says, I'm Carrie's publicist, which you're like, well, here's an issue. If she's here as Carrie's publicist, this causes a much bigger deal than it looks like. Maybe she should just be her friend.
The Tin Man, but they accidentally used rust colored paint instead of.
I'm very curious how they did the makeup here. I want to know.
TV.
She
magic.
Says it was an impulse purchase. And Carrie's like, no, gum is an impulse purchase.
You look like beef carpaccio.
She was veiled down, I think. And then Carrie's like, or Samantha gets a little annoyed. And she's like, do you know how many dinner parties I've sat through for you and how many things I've done for you? And she takes the hat off and Carrie's like, no, the hat was good.
She looks amazing. I mean, this shirt.
Yeah, it's really cool. Women should not have to hide in the shadows. She's like, wear a ribbon and make a political statement elsewhere. And then Samantha turns around and she just starts announcing to people, I've had a chemical peel.
And Carrie's like, and she's not afraid to say it.
She is not. new boyfriend Roquette says, when I had my nose job, I stayed in for a month.
And Stanford just wants to go flaunt Marcus in front of Mario Cantone, Anthony.
Because of the time that Charlotte tried to set them up and Anthony was a mean meanie. A mean meanie. He's literally just picking up bites of things and putting them back on the next tray that walks by. I love it. He's a little chaos monster.
Mario Cantone was in the first Broadway show I ever saw.
No way. Mm-hmm. Really?
He was in the Revival of Assassins.
Wow. We must have talked about that.
Probably.
I think we did. And he's like, oh, how long you two been going together? Stanford does this funny thing when he sees him where Charlotte's like, you've met? And Stanford's like, oh, of course. He's also wearing these like little geometric yellow tinted sunglasses that I'm like, oh, that's exactly the sunglasses everyone was wearing this summer, basically, that everyone got into.
Yeah.
Stanford was ahead of it.
He's like 4 months and Mara's like, oh, 4 long months. Good for you.
And then Stanford does the thing that Anthony wants where he starts getting defensive and he's like, yeah, but we're in love, and like touching Marcus's face all over.
And Mario Cantone is just like, shrimpy. And Stanford, he like walks away and Stanford's like, he has a large penis.
He also says that they're getting a house in the Hamptons. And after Anthony walks away, Charlotte's like, so we're in the Hamptons.
And so Bart Bass and Miranda are making out and they're like, we should go. I'm like,
we should go somewhere.
If you were Carrie, wouldn't you want to be like, at least see Miranda?
Yeah, I think. Didn't they see each other briefly? Maybe not. I guess she hasn't seen Miranda. And yeah, no, doesn't. We don't get like a friend moment really. No, yes. Oh, no. I thought she... Wow, no. No, it's weird. I guess Carrie has a billion other things to do, you know, and she has other nights to see her friends, but...
No.
She also says to Samantha, it'd be nice to have one friendly face there. So it's like she's not anticipating seeing Charlotte or Miranda, which is kind of funny.
Miranda tells Bart Bass that she has a kid and he kind of freaks out.
He's like, is it mine?
She's like, oh my God, like, no.
And then she explains the story and he's like, I'm really bad with kids. And she's like, look, I'm the same person I was before and I would really like to fuck you.
Yeah.
And so she leads him away.
And she's like, I'm still me.
Look, months from now, if we're still together, we'll figure this out. But for now, it's just us. I'm still the same person. They're doing really hot. Like, you know, you can like feel the tension between them.
Speaking of, can I just show you one text?
Sure. Someone's ready to fuck Brooke. She's dancing on the couch right now.
Oh, you
good
guys.
Good things happening. Brooke's going to have her own Bart Bass and Miranda moment. Faces
I'm all,
close.
I'm all
heading to a room somewhere to do the deed.
Exclusively Hilton.
She just propped her chin up on her wrist and looked all cute about it. You should go Doubletree. Don't they give you free cookies?
Oh, I do love the Doubletree. That is a Hilton thing, but listen, I just go where I'm told.
You go where you're told. You slip into a robe.
Where you lead, I will follow.
Anywhere.
That you tell me to.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to get hot and heavy. And honestly, this is one of the hotter interactions I've seen on this show. Where just like the way they're like standing and talking to each other and then like leave.
I love the caption.
The way he follows her too is just like, and when we cut to them on their couch, like he's barely out of his clothes. She isn't out of hers.
Right. You know, but they just had been, time like, to drink wine and light candles.
I assume that was like, let's set the mood. And then it was like, no, we're just fucking. And
Carrie says this weird voiceover that's like, Miranda can still bring home the bacon and bring home the baby.
No, no, it's worse than that. Bring home the bacon, bring home the baby, and bring home the orgasm.
Terrible.
And then the baby starts crying right as she's about to come. And she's like, mommy's coming. But it's, of course, not what she wants to be coming.
And Bart Bass is like, nope.
I don't think I can do this. I told you I'm not a baby guy. And she's like, could I please just come first?
And he looks over, hears the crying, and then just like
collapses on her. And she throws her.
She goes, oh, he goes waltz with her arms.
Exactly.
And then she goes into Brady's room.
Little cutie little baby nursery. And as she walks in, he stops. She like throws her heels down. I love that she's carrying them still.
Oh, because the baby's in her room.
Oh, right. Which is why they were fucking on the couch. And, she picks him. She's like, oh,
see me if
of
I did that.
Course you stop crying now. And then she picks him
He's
up.
He's so cute.
He also looks like Steve somehow.
It's amazing.
And she like, they have this moment where she like looks at him and she sees her baby.
He really looks like, it's amazing casting.
Steve. It's crazy. And she's like, so this is it, huh? And she like kind of has a moment with the baby.
It's really nice.
And Carrie says, that was her plus one, you know, like she's fully in it now. She can't pretend to, she's not going to pretend to anyone. She doesn't have this baby as part of her package deal.
It's 2002.
Isaac Mizrahi's Target line is about to come out.
And they're just like, Isaac Mizrahi. We got Isaac Mizrahi for the show.
They drop him as himself. One line.
And he's like, me, Isaac Mizrahi. I'm saying this thing like literally. Like
he literally says his name. It's so funny. And he's with Enid. And Enid is like, great party. And Carrie says, thank you.
Even Enid has a, you know.
Worth coming downtown for. And Enid goes, hmm. Like smiles. And Carrie's like, I don't, was that a yes or no?
And so Carrie's like, I can have my cake and eat it too, because she got a thing. And then suddenly
she steals like one cake off of a tray. And as she's so looking down, making her way down the stairs.
The little smirk of it all.
He's very, very cute.
Oh my God. It really gets me.
He's real cute.
He's so, the sweater, it is so my type. It is
he's
so
wearing, yeah, he's wearing
disgusting.
A crew neck shirt with a V-neck sweater over it with a blazer over
like
that.
He's like schlubby in just the cutest, most delicious way. And you can tell he's so torn. He doesn't know what to do. And I'm like,
yeah, he looks like he's like an accountant whose secret passion is playing piano, you know. who yeah, all of that.
It's and he's like, I thought you're
she says, I thought you weren't gonna come. And he's like, I had to come
because he likes her.
He does, because he obviously, what this confirms to us is she wasn't making the spark up. She doesn't quite buy it, but also her strap falls down and it's like sassy, and he tells her she looks great and she's like, thank you so much for coming by. And then she walks past him. He also does this thing after she pushes by him on the stairs where he turns to look at her, and then he kind of like does this face at himself where he's like, he knows he's kind of fucked something, or he knows he can't have what he wants, kind of like it's just, it's all right there. It's also very good acting because it's not like they're all over each other.
He's an amazing actor.
Yeah. And Carrie walks over and her strap is still down, which is so funny. I love it.
We finally get Charlotte and Samantha and Carrie. And I think she goes to Charlotte. She's like, I had to let him go, right?
And Charlotte's like, yeah, you did. You had to let him go. And Samantha's like, can I please go home? I'm done being your publicist for the night, in my face. And they're like, I can't believe you came out like this. And Samantha says, honey, I would not have left the house for anyone but you.
It's so nice.
And then she is literally wearing a shirt that is sleeves. And then like a big flowy shirt that's just been cut up the middle.
It's unbelievable.
And up the middle of the back. I don't understand how she can pull it off. It's just like curtains on her body.
And Charlotte's like, I think I'm going to go to, like, Anthony is going to go fuck a waiter, which is like literally what happened at Harry Potter opening. Kyle like left with some boy.
Yep.
I was like, well.
But he is not your gay safety net. He is not your gafety net.
No, I was trying, someone was trying, they were trying to set me up with, well, I'm,
unclear what's happening.
Unclear what's happening. Also, my ex-boyfriend is here, and
also that
there's just
forgot
like
about that.
Like a lot that there that I feel weird about there. Mm-hmm. I'm also really drunk, and I'm just not in. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this is not the environment for this.
You took control of your moment, and you didn't do that.
So, Carrie's like talking about how she's like the ice sculpture that the party's happening around, because no one's really talking to her, which is odd. And then she's like, I had to let him go, right?
I just wish he'd told me right up front. But also, that would have been so weird. He was ostensibly on like a business lunch to talk to her. And if the first thing he'd said was, I have a girlfriend, Carrie would have been like, okay.
Yeah. And Charles like,
there are some things people don't admit.
Because they just don't like the way it sounds. Like, I'm divorced.
Or I'm getting divorced. Or a million other things. Or I have a baby is the other unspoken one in this.
Yeah.
And Carrie says, I'm lonely. And then she says, I'm lonely. The loneliness is palpable. And Charlotte's kind of like, both I think recognizes it and also knows that none of her placating anything will. Yeah. Carrie's talking about something deep and
I've
real.
I've like had this moment.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just like such a relatable, just like you. I mean, the whole conceit of this episode is like having it all and like the guise of having it all and like what is underlying.
And the guise of having it all. Am
nice,
I right?
Nice, Bridget.
Thank you.
But it's just like, I love these when I just like the writing is suddenly like great.
It's just, it's nuanced. It's deeper. It's funnier. It feels more real.
Yeah.
It feels less like, what kooky TV show plot can we put up today? Like every single part of this felt real to me today.
Yeah. Today.
Today. Today on all days.
Today on the day of Indigenous peoples.
Indeed.
The day formerly known
as. We watch a bunch of white women fuck around.
And then Enid comes storming in. She's like, why didn't you tell me you invited Cliff? And we find out that
Cliff is there and he's with his West Side woman. So probably his wife, yes.
The guy from Primetime Sports, he's like a cable.
He's like a somebody. And Carrie can't believe it's that guy. And she's like, well, is it your side or her side? And she's like, we're below Houston.
I don't know what that means anymore down here. And I'm like, fair.
And then she says, I am so angry. And she, not at Carrie necessarily. She doesn't like say with you, but she clearly is upset. And she like sneaks away. Carrie's she can't like, be seen. That dress does nothing for Carrie.
I know. Chell's like, who is ugly. That? And Carrie goes, my role model.
And it like hits in the middle of her boobs. And it's just like every part of it is weird. Just that would be the dress they'd pick for this event.
Yeah, it's really stupid. So she eats her little cake.
She like pops a little piece.
She's wearing a corsage, which is also weird.
So funny. And then she's just fondling a tulip in the back of a car.
And this cute driver.
She's amazing. Is like, what was the party for?
She's like, me.
I have a book coming out. And the woman says, you wrote a book? And Carrie's like, well, it's just a collection. And then she stops herself and she's like, yes, I wrote a book. And
she's like, amazing.
And Carrie says, please take me home. And the woman's like, no, I can't take you home.
So Carrie lives on 73rd and somewhere on the east side. They go to, I'm assuming, is Grace Papaya's,
which is my thought also.
The west side.
72nd. Well, maybe the party was, the party was down. Maybe they just drove straight up Broadway, you know?
I'm just like.
Yeah, odd. But I love that this cutie woman, that this is where she takes her to. And she's like, no, you can't go home on this night. We have to celebrate. And then she takes her to get hot dogs. And then they're at the counter. And the woman, her driver's like, can I tell him? Carrie's like, no. And she's like, she wrote a book. And then the guy gives them their hot dogs for free.
And they're like, no. And he's like, the 75 cent hot dog, here you go.
Which also, can we talk about the inflation in the last 20 years? I know they're cheap, but I think it's a dollar.
At Grace Papaya.
I guess it's true. It's just if you get anything on it, it's more. That makes sense. Grace Papaya is the best fucking thing.
Okay, so I had...
Also just worth noting, because I feel like we have to, whenever a character of color is speaking and is cutie as hell, and it surprised me because it's been a minute, the driver is a black woman.
There's also a person of color in the next episode,
too. They're getting depth. Crazy.
I know. But at EatsCon, there's these hot dogs in Westchester called Walters, and they're like unreal, and they were there.
God, I love a hot dog.
We started the day with a hot dog.
I start every day with a hot dog. Brooke and I just winked at each other just for all of your edification. And so, then as Carrie's getting back in the car with her free hot dog,
she finds a Jack of Hearts. Now, I don't know if we've mentioned this yet this episode, but Burger's first name is in fact Jack.
And not only that, but hearts
represent symbolize love. I don't know if
I don't know if you caught that earlier, because we slipped it in there real fast and subtle.
I think it's letting us, the watcher, know that this isn't the end of Burger. Can you imagine if I was like, yeah, that's all we get of him?
He's my favorite.
He's just so cute.
He's
right?
Just a tantalizing option she can never have.
And I'm like, that's my thing, though.
And her whole, what she ends on is, maybe there's something to knowing they're out there. Basically just like, she doesn't actually need him to be there right now. But the idea that she could spark with someone and that person existed was as much... I mean, it's a little more complicated than that. But the idea that he's out there somewhere is just as exciting and comforting to her in that moment.
Do you think that he's out there, meaning Burger, or he's out there, meaning ambiguous he?
Whomever. I mean, probably both, but even Carrie can ignore the deep subtlety of a Jack of Hearts card. Especially because he's the one who pointed them out to her.
What if it had been like a crazy deck of cards that was actually Burger's?
And then he goes on a hunt like a Cinderella other shoe, but he's like, I'm missing my Jack of Hearts from my deck.
And she's like, this Jack of Hearts.
And then they make out, and then they twirl around and slowly rise into the air as the credits roll. That's how the show ends, right?
The Lady and the Tramp with a French fry.
There was an amazing This American Life the other day where they replayed an episode about coincidences, and some of them are really fun, but the craziest one of all, this woman tells a story of, she was working in a store, I don't know, somewhere, and she at some point, I don't remember how they came into her possession, but at some point she wrote her name on a dollar. She'd just gotten out of a bad relationship, and she wrote her name on a dollar and was like, whoever gets this dollar is going to be the man I end up marrying. And she'd gone on like 3 dates with this guy, and he then tells his side of the story where he went into a store actually on his way to go out on a date with her, I think, and he got a dollar with her name written on it, and he told her the story at dinner and was like, how funny is this, like, look at this dollar. And she kind of had a moment and then was like, ask me to tell you what that means later, because she at the time didn't want to be like,
first and last name.
No, it was just her first name. But he just thought it was funny because he was like, I'm dating a girl named Ellen. How funny, I got this. Actually, he pulled it out of his wallet. And as he was about to hand it over, he realized it had her name on it. So he kept it, I think. I'm butchering this. It's very cute. But anyway, they forgot about it. And like years later, we're cleaning something out. And he was like, what? oh yeah, what was this? And she told him, and he like could not fucking believe it. They still had, apparently now it's like framed in their house, but that actually happened. And then they actually got married and she didn't even tell him about any of it. I know. Bonkers. Bonkers. So maybe that was Jack's, Jack. And she has to return it to him and they'll figure out it was his.
Sex and the City 3 is the Retergence of Burger.
The Retergence of the Returned Burglar. That's all I can think. Oh God.
Bridget.
Yeah, that's it, guys. That's the episode.
Who did you resonate with?
Oh my God. Kinda everyone a little bit, I feel like. Weirdly, not that this has happened to me like at all, but I really get Charlotte having like a complicated,
I knew you were gonna say that,
relationship with her whatever mother-in-law, or just like these people who she's still attached to, even though she's not anymore, like that I just relate to deeply, and trying to navigate the way those relationships change. I resonated, I don't know, I think this is bad, I resonated with, I think, all the things they lied about, if that makes sense. Like I resonated with or I guess just the idea of just like not wanting to tell someone something that's going to change a situation, holding something close to your chest, even though you're like, I'm going to have to do it soon. Miranda and the baby, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
Bridget, do you have a baby?
This is
Bridget just made such a cute little face at me.
This is a moment I've been waiting for a long time.
I'm so glad we're recording for this.
Everyone, I would like to announce the birth of my child. It's been 3 years ago. So I've been hiding not just a baby, but a toddler. Ireland. There's more to the story.
I just got worried there was something real that I didn't know.
I know.
Not
I
just that thought, you had a baby.
No, I know. I just thought maybe I could pull a fast one on you.
And you did.
I did. She really gasped there. And I resonate with Carrie feeling lonely.
Yes, same.
And that moment of like acknowledging and accepting that that's what that feeling is and that it's very deep. I used to kind of feel like it's easy to be like loneliness is being empty, and it's like actually not that at all. It's a feeling that can like fill you up and choke you out, kind of.
Yeah, also though, there's this really good song that I like that I listen to that I feel like it's about like I'm not lonely, I'm just alone.
Yeah, there's a big difference between that. Yeah, and learning how to be alone. And it's not to say that Carrie like doesn't like to be alone or hasn't, no, or you I know, and she went out to lunch by herself and it wasn't about her being like alone at lunch.
Yeah. Where she had a trouble going doing that in the early seasons of the of the show.
And now she does it. And now it's just like a part of who she is and what she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I I think that's just those little bits, you know. It's just like, I think that's why the show feels better, is that it's like deeper and more nuanced and more relatable in those ways. It's less
like blanket, like we're gonna try to get everybody under this,
is
like,
this thing good or bad?
Yeah.
And then yeah,
can we have sex with models?
God, think how far we have come.
Yeah.
What about you? I just took all of them, so
Carrie.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. All the whole thing,
the whole bit of it.
Also even Berger's whole thing of being like you know why he didn't tell her.
Yeah.
And it's because there was a spark there and because he felt it too.
Yeah.
I really don't think Berger did anything wrong.
I don't think
Berger minute he had an opportunity, he told her. The minute it was, you know, she said.
No, Berger's not a bad guy.
And he still went. No, I know. I just mean her friends are ready to defend her, of course. But and she's very calm-headed about it. But I think Carrie handled that the best anyone could in that situation.
I think Carrie could have spiraled out of control and been crazy. Like we could, there's like a different version of this. Like I think a season 2 Carrie would have like,
maybe,
like it would have been about that, but it's not. So
I feel like the storyline in season 2 would have been different in that. Yes, Carrie would have been more volatile, and she would have like
tried to do something about it.
She wouldn't have found out about Berger on the first time. They would have hung out like twice, and then she would have found out, and then she would have actually had a spiral about it. Yeah. You know, because I think for most people, crazy to spiral after. You know, a nice hour with someone and then being like, God damn it, you have a person. It sucks.
It sucks.
But I can see in like slightly altered circumstances, the ridiculous storyline this would be instead.
I'm glad. I'm glad that it happened like this.
And that's the self-contemplation we see Carrie too, where she's like, ooh, this isn't a good side of me. And then when she says to Charlotte, I have to let him go, right? I just like, she's getting to the really hard stuff early and addressing it.
I'm proud of her.
I am too.
Ploppability?
I think almost all of this could 100% go. I think a chemical peel would probably be different.
I don't know. Cass had one. Cassandra had one, and
she was
healing for days and days.
Well, yeah, I think that's still how that works. In general, the technology for all of that is different. Yes. And I think like maybe it would have been a different.
I think it could still be the same. I also think like today it would be less like imperative that they all had dates. Like, yes. I think especially since Carrie doesn't have a date, like the three of them would have all been her date.
Yes.
Like that's how I would have done it.
I also think they do a pretty good job of addressing it, honestly. But I do think the whole plastic surgery, it's not plastic surgery, the
Botox,
cosmetic,
yeah,
whatever that she's doing, would just be maybe addressed in a different way. Or like would be, or Samantha would have some different feelings about it.
A lot of people get Botox now to like help with migraines.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting.
It like tightens.
Well, yeah, people do different things for all different reasons now. And there are so many like little tiny things you can do. And like, I'm certain there are people I know who've had some kind of work done that I don't even realize. And a lot of it is subtle and beautiful. And it is not something to like judge someone for. I just think it would potentially be addressed differently 20 years later.
Yeah.
Or that the story would be approached differently.
Yeah.
Totally. Also, as much as we love Samantha, this is a nothing plot for her. She gets to be her publicist, but like it's just another Samantha throwaway. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Soon. I promise.
Yeah. Ploppable baby.
Ploppable baby. Do we have anything else we want to tell the people?
Plop a baby. People.
People.
I want to tell you that I love you.
I love you.
And I want to tell you where I can find Brooke on social media.
Well, if you wanted, you can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. Having just a stream of consciousness about things that are happening. And you can find me on Instagram. Very smiley right now.
The cutest.
At Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you put an underscore, I will...
make so you can never watch Sex and the City again.
Whoa. Bridget, social media ma'am, excuse me.
Hello.
How could I find you on social media, ma'am?
So you're going to take a left at Twitter and you're going to look for Mrs. Burt Macklin Road. And then you're just going to walk down that never ending path of bullshit and snark. And then on Instagram, you'll find the plaza there, Instagram Plaza. And you'll just look for Bridget M37.
Bridget, you're so smart and clever.
Thank you. Yeah. Did I say Mrs. Burt Macklin? Mm-hmm. Or did I say Bridget M? Okay, good.
You know.
I mean, whatever. You've listened to us do this.
Collectively, we are at Splat Podcast on Twitter. Instagram.
Gmail.com.
We need to update our website.
Honestly, if people have been listening to us this long and aren't following us on social media, it's for a reason. We should stop harping on them. Can you imagine anyone would betray us like that?
What if this is a new person that is listening for the first time?
Hi, new person. Hi. Love you.
Welcome.
So happy your friend fill in the blank sent you here.
How did you get here?
Have you rated and reviewed and subscribed to us yet?
You should do that.
All of you should do that. So excited.
We know you're listening or not. Just kidding.
Well, we know already. Anyway, this has been a fun little guilt trip for all y'all out there. We love you so much. Happy fall. It's gorgeous.
Oh,
out.
Just really quick. I've had two conversations this week where people have been like, so you're like a Disney family? And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, it happened today and I
was
on quizzed Friday.
At Hannah Dunn's birthday party or housewarming party last night about it and about the dynamics and
about my family.
Not like your family dynamics, just like how the weekend like happened and like what it was. Oh. And then they wanted to know that like I just had to explain. The Wiseman's at Disney, you know.
Like, you're like, is Brooke a Disney girl? And you were like, I don't think I'm.
No, they did ask if you were a Disney family. And I was like, they have annual passes and have gone for years. And like,
we haven't had annual passes for like a long time. But I think there's a difference when you live in Florida.
No, totally.
I think that like.
And I maintain too, I said this last night again, I stand firmly by the fact that the parks are a different thing than like Disney.
Yeah.
And I get the park thing now. I mean, what's not to love? But also, I really would not go any other way because if I had to stand in line for rides and shit, I would not like the experience.
You got to go with me, baby.
That's right. Get the hookups.
My anxiety, baby. Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.